When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Monday. I'm here with YouTube OG Grant Cohn. The 49ers canceled their joint practice with the Saints. We're going to tell you why. Grant and I are going to be going, giving our stock up, stock down on every player in every position on the 49ers, plus the latest on Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams. You definitely should stick around.
Back to throw Montana. Steps up, throws.
Your host, Ryan Hensley. What's going on, everybody? Grant, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing phenomenal. The Niners have practice today at 2 o'clock and they have the day off tomorrow. And then they're not going to Irvine, which means I'm not going to Irvine, which, you know, nice. I was going to play a little golf down there, but now I'm not. I'll just, keep it pushing up here.
I don't know. Is that a good thing, though? Irvine's kind of nice. It's nice in Orange County. You could have saw Brother Bob.
I was thinking there was going to be a Brother Bob appearance and like a really nice golf course that I was going to get to scoot around in my little golf cart. The best part, golf is fun, but golf carts more fun than golf. And that's what I like about going playing golf.
That's true. Only reason why my family ever wants to go golfing with me is just to drive the cart.
It's a lot of fun. They just give it to you. I mean, you have to pay like $15, but it's a nice addition. I think it's good bang for your buck. It's like having Brock Purdy on a rookie deal. It's nice.
Can you imagine golfing 18 holes with no cart? Have you ever tried that yet?
Absolutely not. Too old. My back would hurt. I couldn't do it. Maybe I could, but I wouldn't want to.
You need a caddy. You need a
caddy. At that point, it would just be called hiking featuring golf. Like, no, I didn't come here for a hike. This is golf.
Yeah, you definitely want a caddy in that situation. Well, sir, I'm sorry to hear that your plans are canceled to travel to Southern California.
Yeah, I was going to drive, too. It was going to be a whole thing.
Oh, well, yeah, that can be. Highway 5 is a little kind of trashy. But Nick Wagner comes out ahead of everyone, says 49ers are canceling joint practices with the Saints and Irvine this week. The team is banged up, and the concern is they won't have enough bodies for the session. And then I think the 49ers released a statement to everybody. So now the statement became the 49ers and Saints have mutually agreed to cancel the joint practices this week. 23 dudes out last week. A lot of injured dudes. What do you think about this news?
It didn't occur to me that Wagner broke the story. No. Oh, wait, hold on. I can't say that Wagner broke the story because I got the text in like the group text from the Niners PR staff at 4 o'clock that the canceling was mutually agreed upon. And then Wagner came out at 4:01 and tweeted that it was, according to a source, the Niners canceled it. So. But yeah, I mean, it seems like he broke the story that the Niners canceled it, which makes sense. Yeah. The Saints could have been like, no, we have to do this practice. But if the Niners say we don't have enough people, we're not going to show up, then they cancel the practice. And I think that's the most important part. Like the Niners, Kyle said how many times, like, you know, these joint practices are more important than the preseason. There's like the most important thing we do all offseason. And now you have to cancel them because you're too hurt. That's an indication that training camp isn't going like as well as it should be, could be.
Yeah, 23 dudes missed practice last week. I got a list here. Maybe I don't know all of them, but I know at least 16 of them. So there's 16. Some that I'm not aware of. But they said 23. Is it 16 the number? Do you know?
I don't know.
And then I do know Huff is supposed to come back sometime the next week. That's what the plan was. So that's good. They'll be giving Huff back. But, I mean, you have Christian McCaffrey, calf strain. Elijah Mitchell, something's going on with him. Isaac Grindo, toast for the season. That's three running backs right there.
Close to the season? Or you just feel that way?
I feel that way.
Okay, fair enough.
That's my... Like, that, So it's what's going to happen. It's
okay,
what's
fair, enough, happen. Fair enough.
Yeah. Ricky Pearsall banged up, third injury since he's been here. Jacob Cowan, I'm not sure what's going on with him, but some kind of injury. Danny Gray supposedly banged up. That's three receivers. Plus Brandon Ayuk's not there. O-line, Spencer Burford out for something. Jalen Moore sick before the game. Pat Elflin got injured on his first day as a 49er. Defensive end Drake Jackson.
Trent Williams not there.
Trent Williams isn't there.
Although he's not even on the roster right now, but yeah.
And then Drake Jackson out for the season. Dre Greenlaw probably going to be on the PUP, won't come back to like week 5. Demetrius Flanagan Fowles is nursing some kind of injury. Fred Warner's foot is irritated. Then we got Huff actually coming back. It looks like Ambry Thomas, broken forearm, probably done for this season. And then Mitch Wishnowsky nursing some kind of injury. So Presley Harvin was signed to the team. A lot of injuries, man. And I know it's early and not a huge reason to panic, I guess, but definitely not the plan, obviously.
No, and it's like maybe it's just bad luck. It's probably just bad luck. But you also have to remember that the Niners lost their strength and conditioning. I don't know exactly what his title was, but Ben Peterson went to the Atlanta Hawks. Is that correct?
Ben Peterson. I'm not sure.
Ben Peterson, he was their lead trainer. Correct. And he just left to go to an NBA team. And the Niners, I'm not exactly sure who replaced him, but I'm not saying that it's this guy's fault, but you can't ignore that there's like some kind of upheaval or transfer of authority in this training department. And all of a sudden they're having a bad offseason, like a lot of soft tissue injuries. That can't be soft tissue injuries feel like the ones that are the most preventable. They've talked about you can't, hard to prevent a broken hand like with Spencer Burford, but hamstring pulls. Feels like something in the plan didn't go so well.
Out of all these injuries, what concerns you the most? Which one?
Christian McCaffrey's calf. That's keeping him out the entire preseason. I mean, if it were an Achilles injury, they would call it a calf because they're connected. And if you call it he strained his Achilles, that's terrifying. And that's, you know, it's like that headline gets more clicks than it's a calf injury where it's like, oh, he'll be fine. But a lot of times when players in their late 20s or early 30s hurt their Achilles beforehand, they're nursing an injured calf. So that one's key. I mean, is that going to linger all year? And then Fred Warner, man, like, what is that? They say he's fine. It's no problem. Foot irritation. But it knocked him out for a week. And you wonder, like, is that plantar fasciitis? Is that some kind of, like, thing that's not an issue now because you have a month before the season starts? But is that something that's going to start cropping up? Because you don't think of Fred Warner or Christian McCaffrey as getting old. You think of them as like superheroes at the peak of their powers, but they're both 28, right? Getting around that age where chronic injuries start to creep up. Look at Eric Armstead, how quickly that happened with him. So those are two I'm looking at, because if those guys go from being at their peak to being on the slight downhill, that changes everything with this team.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. Christian McCaffrey was having the same calf strain injury all year last year, or at least towards the end of the year. So this is kind of a reoccurring thing.
Seems like it, yeah. And that's not good. That's really scary. Got to be careful with him. And you have Jordan Mason, who's going crazy. So all the more reason not to push the issue with Christian McCaffrey like they did last year when he led the league in touches for the second time in his career.
And also, correct me if I'm wrong, but foot irritation is not a technical medical term, I would believe that means something else. I don't know. Maybe
that's why I don't necessarily put so much stock in a calf strain diagnosis. It's like, is that really what it is? Or is that what you're telling us? Cause foot irritation seems like what you're telling us. Cause if you called it plantar fasciitis, if that's what it was, people would be like, oh my God, Fred Warner has what? I don't think they want that right now.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
You gotta have Christian. You gotta have Fred for the sake of this team. I mean, with all of these injuries, are you concerned that there's going to be a slow start to this season, or how do you feel about it?
Absolutely. I would say the combination of ton of injuries in camp plus Trent Williams not being there and there being no reports on any progress there and Brandon Ayuk still not there seems like all of a sudden you're looking at week one against the Jets. I think when that schedule came out, all of us were like, Niners going to win that game. Now it's like, well, the Jets have one of the best defenses in the league, and Aaron Rodgers is probably going to be healthy for that game. And the Niners' offense could be missing Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk. We don't really know. And Ricky Pearsall. I mean, like, what's going on? So all of a sudden week one is looking like, is that a game they're going to lose their home opener on Monday Night Football? I don't know.
Yeah, hope not. That's for sure. I was going to ask you something else about these things. Oh, I feel bad. Do you believe in jinxing? Do you believe in jinxes?
Mm-mm. No, not really.
I don't believe in it. But I did speak about, like, because the Niners were so healthy last year, you would think that you know, the odds were against them for.
You're going Madden,
healthy.
Huh? You're saying Madden.
Madden curse. I didn't even think about that. Actually,
Madden curse.
I don't believe in jinxes. I don't believe in curses, to be honest. But I do believe in odds. And last year they were very healthy, so the odds were stacked against them for having another healthy season back to back. So I'm hoping this is a beginning of the season issue. They get it all worked out and they continue to stay healthy for the rest of the season. So that's the hope.
Well, now that you mention it, I think I do believe in jinxes. As soon as he was on the Madden cover, I was thinking, oh, that's terrible. Because when I was a kid, that was always bad news. And then when he pulled his calf, I was like, that's what I'm talking about. Madden cover, his calf is in his name. I'm telling you, you don't want to mess with things. Like, there are things bigger than you in this universe, all right? Like, someone got a, it's a sick joke. To someone in the unit, Caff, you didn't think about that? Can't be on Madden. That's on him. He brought that on himself. Sorry. The football gods are kind of cruel.
Sounds like science to me.
It's definitely science.
Yes, William says, Jerry Jones tanking for Shedeur Sanders next season.
No need. He's got Trey Lance.
I don't know. You know, like, Deion Sanders seems like the ultimate sports dad. Like, I don't know if I want Shedeur. I love Deion Sanders, but man, he seems like a lot to
Can you imagine covering Deion Sanders?
No, that would suck.
He went off on some reporter for like not liking his program. I'm like, geez. College football is crazy because coaches can do stuff like that. It's like, these are kids. Like, man, hold on. They're all getting paid a lot. You're getting paid. They're getting paid. We're going to approach this like professional sports. I'm going to ask real questions. And Deion Sanders was like, how dare you? The reporter didn't do a good job either, but I just feel like I would get in a lot of trouble covering college sports.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd be, I don't know if Deion would. It doesn't seem like he wants any kind of criticism. So I don't think Deion, you would not be Deion's favorite journalist.
How much money is he making a year to say, I don't want criticism? Or like really? I don't know. He seems like you're a professional coach.
Yeah, a lot. I was really inspired by Deion's career as a player and then his start as a college coach. But lately,
that was cool.
Lately, it's been kind of like just grumpy stuff.
Well, he started losing, and then it seemed like he started blaming the media. I was kind of lame. Just win.
Yeah, just win.
You were on all the channels. I don't understand.
Brother Bob says, morning, gents. I do live very close to Costa Mesa. There you go. Too bad. It's not going to happen.
But now I'm not.
Not going to happen, no. All Niner. Let's just cancel the season.
It's over.
Season's done.
It's done.
All right. I wanted to talk to you, man. Let's go through this entire roster.
Please.
Because I want to go stock up, stock down. They say you're either getting better or you're getting worse. I don't know if I necessarily believe that, to be real, but that's what they say. So let's talk about it position by position after watching preseason week one. Obviously, just one preseason game. You know, you can't really base everything off one preseason game, but we're going to do that anyways.
What you can do is like evaluate specific players. It's hard to be like, well, the run defense is still an issue because none of the players who are going to be defending the run were on the field. I will say, though, that it was kind of funny to see Robert Beal have no idea what to do against his own read. And you could say that's Robert Beal's fault, but I've been at every day of training camp and they don't practice that play, running it, defending it. The Niners never defend that play well or mobile quarterback. So that's another thing I'm looking at. It's like, Brandon Staley, you're the new guy here. Can you please make that a point of emphasis at some point here? Because they can't stop that freaking play. Okay, keep going.
Yes. Well, let's start with quarterback, man. We didn't get to see Brock, obviously. Well, we'll see him this week, I believe. But we did get to see Josh Dobbs, Brandon Allen. What did you think of those two dudes?
They're okay. They look like a couple of backup quarterbacks that you would never want to start a game. Like, maybe if they came in the second quarter or the third quarter, you'd feel like they could do enough that one day without being scouted. But I mean, Brandon Allen, like, the best thing he did was he made a couple of deep throws that got dropped, and he had a couple of conversions over the middle on third down, which were nice. He seems to like have a feel for the offense. He was in Cincinnati, which runs a version of it, and he's a decent arm. He's not particularly mobile. His feet are pretty heavy. kind of got Jimmy Garoppolo feet, but he's fine as like a third string quarterback that you would, you know, as a Josh, he's better than Josh Johnson. If he were to been, if he would have been in that NFC Championship game instead of Josh Johnson, they would have had a better chance. I'll say that. And then Josh Dobbs, also better than Josh Johnson. He's, you know, he made a couple of plays with his feet and he had that touchdown with his feet. But he also turned the ball over once and it should have been twice. So it's hard to say who was better or get excited about either one, but they looked like NFL backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's I walked away from it. Well, I will say I was a little concerned about, I say Brandon Allen looked better than I expected, but not good enough to be a starter in the NFL. They look like serviceable backups. And I actually asked a poll. I had a poll on my Twitter, and I think 55% said Josh Dobbs looked better than Brandon Allen. But
I just feel like every team has a backup like Brandon Allen. Like, not that he's bad, but it's you can find a Brandon Allen. I bet there's a Brandon Allen available right now on the street. And it seems like what they're going to do is keep both, and then on the weeks when they play a pocket quarterback, Brandon Allen will run the scout team. And on weeks when they run, they face a more mobile quarterback, Josh Dobbs will run the scout team, which is fine. That's pretty cool. But if either one has to actually play, yikes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Dobbs had some moments like running for that touchdown, jumping over. That was nice.
Nice.
Was good to see. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gamer.
So I think Dobbs has a little bit more to work with there. They both seem pretty similar from a passing standpoint. Brandon Allen's mechanics are surprisingly bad for passing mechanic. Like, he was like throwing his whole upper body into passes, which I haven't really seen NFL quarterbacks do before. I thought that was interesting. But I say they both were kind of like similar from a passing standpoint, but you got Josh Dobbs legs to give him a little bit extra to work with. Yeah.
I feel like if Allen had to play an extended period of time as the Niners quarterback, he would get sacked a lot. Sacked a lot. He just seems kind of slow behind an offensive line that's not going to give him much time, and I don't know if he's going to make super quick decisions or, you know, buy time the way. Jimmy got hurt a lot. He got sacked a lot. That's the way I feel. I feel like it would be a little bit of the Jimmy. I don't know how long he'd last. And then with Dobbs, I think he could sort of keep himself alive behind this offensive line, but might be the kind of guy who makes mistakes and, like, costs you games when it's just like, man, we have all this talent. Can you stop throwing picks, please? Please? I don't know. I'm not really... I didn't come away super enthusiastic about the Niners backup quarterback. And then we're going to talk about Trey Lance later, but we're watching Trey Lance in Dallas kind of made me think, like, why is he not on this team right now? Like, why is he not the backup quarterback? It seemed like that would be, it seems like a similar level as Dobbs and Allen right now. But again, he has potential that those two don't seem to have. But anyway, we can talk about Lance later.
Yeah, we'll finish the show with some Trey Lance talk. I know everyone's excited about that. Kyle Juszczyk, fullback. It is what it is there. Halfback, though, like we talked about, Christian McCaffrey nursing an injury, Elijah Mitchell nursing an injury. Jordan Mason looked fantastic. Stock up for Jordan Mason for sure, who we already thought stock was already up, but he just keeps getting better and better. That guy is legit. But right now, it seems like to me, they got three running backs, Christian McCaffrey, Jordan Mason, Elijah Mitchell. Two of them are hurt. Cody Schrader, man, he was one of the biggest disappointments. I hate to say that about such a young undrafted free agent, but like the news coming out of training camp from everybody was how great he looked. And then he didn't do anything from a running standpoint.
He looked mid. He didn't look super fast, super quick, super powerful. Like, the thing with Jordan Mason is, like, he's so powerful. He's really tough to tackle. There's a picture of like five Titans on his back. I mean, he really, unless you have your first string defense out there, he's going to make your defense look soft. And Cody Schrader didn't make anyone look soft or slow, or he just looked like a serviceable running back who could do a little bit of everything, but isn't going to be. He did have that one nice 14-yard run around the right side that didn't count because it was made possible by a holding penalty. But other than that, he looked pretty stoppable.
Yeah, and you know, he did look better than Trent Taylor on the kick return, and we'll, to use Grant's line, more on him in a minute. I definitely want to talk about Trent Taylor, but he did okay.
I think they need to give him more reps in the preseason, man. I mean, because he's really he's got potential, young guy with the whole future ahead of him. Like, let's give him more reps because it's important to win these games. That was my thing with Clay Kubiak. It's like, dude, can you stop calling plays for Trent Taylor?
Yeah, I want
to. What are you trying to prove right now? Are you trying to win the game? Are you trying to show Kyle that you can put up points? Like, get some young guys involved.
I got some Trent Taylor stuff I want to talk about for sure. But Matt Breida didn't fumble the ball, didn't really do anything. I don't even know if we saw Patrick Taylor. We didn't see Keshawn Vaughn and Isaac Grindo. Like I said, I think
the Matt Breida Trent Taylor revival tour on this in preseason is just crazy, man. Like, usually isn't preseason for young guys? It's like, no, let's bring back as many guys from the 2019 team as possible. Let's get Tevin Coleman here, Quan Alexander, Akello Witherspoon. No, I mean, Nick Mullins.
Yeah, Dante Johnson. When you bring him back.
Yep.
So yeah, Jimmy running back. Running back was one of the deepest positions coming into this season, I thought, and now it's down to three. They're all three of the ones that we have are good. It's just two of them aren't healthy right now, so that's a little bit of a concern. But Jordan Mason is great. So there we go. Tight end, sir. George Kittle obviously is tight end one. I think Eric Solbert has secured his tight end two, in my opinion. And Brady,
is that how you pronounce it? Like French, like Solbert.
That's how I pronounce it, but
I like that. Solbert.
Like, you know, like Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's better. I think that's probably what it originally was, but you know, you come to America, you start playing football, they start anglifying it. It's like, nah, it's Sobert now. No, it's Solbert.
I don't know what it is. What is it? Tell me. Educate me.
It's Solbert now. It just became Solbert. Sorry. Solbert. No offense, Eric, but you're French.
On this day four, it's Solbert. Like Sherbert. Anyway, Braden Willis to me, I think, is tied in three. So I think to me, it's George Kittle, Eric Solbert, whatever you want to say, Braden Willis. Those are your three tight ends to me. And then Jake Tongs, Cameron Latu, and Mason Plyner fighting for the fourth spot. Do you agree? How do you see that?
Yeah. Although, like, Braden Willis is kind of like the Cody Schrader of the tight end room. Like, has good moments in practice, seems to be like a buzz stock up guy, and then in a game does a lot of nothing. And what was interesting about the way they used him in this game, they played him at fullback. Like, that's what they used to do with Dwelly. You know, like, Dwelly wasn't the biggest guy and he couldn't really move anyone at the point of attack at tight end, but he was willing and he was he was essentially their backup fullback for a while. If Juszczyk went down, Dwelly would be the fullback, and he was like serviceable. He would, you know, try hard. He would give good effort. He wasn't going to blast anyone, but he did the job. Willis wasn't really doing the job. He was getting blown up when he was lead blocking as a fullback. And Tim Ryan was even saying it, like, boy, you'd like to get a little movement from your fullback in that situation. So I don't really know what his role on this team this year is going to be. Maybe next year he could be a fullback. But right now it seems like it's going to be Kittle and Solbert. And if they have a third tight end, they probably won't use one very much. But Latu and Tongas are interesting. Latu just can't hold on to the ball, but he caught two passes in this game. So he's on a hot streak. He's on a two catch streak. And I think if he could keep it going, just develop a little confidence, he's definitely their most like imposing tight end. Looks like he could be a good blocker and like be tough to tackle in the open field. So he's interesting. And then Tongas seems like a smaller guy who gets open, runs good routes, catches the ball. I mean, I don't know if he's a good blocker, but he's got Ross Dwelly vibes all over.
And that excites you.
Absolutely. I mean, why not? Kyle doesn't know what to do with him, but it's always nice to have a tight end who can get open because you can use that guy in the red zone. Kyle hasn't figured that out in almost 8-9 years of having George Kittle, but it's a hell of a weapon to have. 6'5", 6'6". Guy who can get open in close quarters. Yeah, it's nice.
I'm pulling for Mason Plyne, man, but we didn't really see anything.
Tongas is better.
Okay, yeah.
I think they kind of have the same skill set. Taller guy who's going to be more of a receiver than a blocker, and Tongas is just quicker, better route runner, gets more separation, more advanced. Plyne is bigger.
Practice squad, Mason Plyne, probably. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we got some more super chats to get to. Josh Alvarez, Sanders and Shanny are alike, both better coordinators than head coaches. I think Sanders has very good leadership as a head coach. But he's walking with the press.
Yeah. I don't know. It seemed like he was winning, and then they started losing a lot, and it's like, well, are you good at just, like, marketing your team? Like, you brought a lot of attention to your team, and we thought that was going to translate to, like, great recruiting classes, but it seems like it didn't.
Yeah, we'll see, man. When do they start playing? They start playing very soon, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Brother Bob says, Iggy, do you even see CMC on the injury field, on the injured field? Did you even see?
You don't. That's a great question because you do see Fred Warner out there watching practice. Like, yelling, being a coach, good, you know, good hit, that kind of stuff. McCaffrey, haven't seen him in days.
Interesting.
Call me a conspiracy theorist, but I want to know where he is.
City Burt, kind of like Solbert. How does this Ayuk story play out? City Bear, how does this Ayuk story play out a year later? Does Kyle win in that I told you BA was good because of me, or does Ayuk ball out? I think Ayuk's going to be good no matter where he goes. That's my opinion.
That's a great question. I'm not really sure if the 49ers, because Ayuk said there's two options, right? Essentially, give me the contract extension that the Steelers will give me or send me to the Steelers. The Niners always like to find a third option. And the third option is essentially make him play on the fifth-year option of his contract. And I would love to know what like that looked like from a... It just sounds like a reality show. You know, yeah. Hard Knocks. Or Here Against Your Will. Yeah. Captivity. What does it look like when a great wide receiver has to play one more year with a team he doesn't want? I don't know. It sounds like it would be juicy. And I don't think that's what teams want generally, but it's what media wants. It's just drama. So that would be interesting. I don't know what that looks like. The Niners keep trying to act like, oh, it's fine. He'd fall in line. We got this under control. Really? You sure? You want this to happen? You want this circus? I want this circus. Let's do it. Yeah. I'm calling your bluff. BA's calling your bluff. Let's make this a whole freaking circus all year, because why would football be the focus of your team when you're trying to win a Super Bowl? I don't see why you would want that. Let's make this sideshow the focus of the season. I think it'd be great.
And we're going to talk about BA because we do have a little bit of an update in regards to that. And we're going to talk about wide receivers next, too. I do think BA is a talented wide receiver. And if he was on a team with a decent offense and a decent quarterback, I think he would do just as well, if not better in certain situations than he would with the 49ers. But the 49ers offense is good for Brandon Ayuk. But to me, he's not Jimmy Garoppolo, if that's what you're asking, City Burt. He's not going to go to another team and then turn into a pumpkin. I think Brandon Ayuk's talented regardless. All Niner, what's up with the second string QB fascination? I don't ever remember backup QB so unimportant in pass. It's Jimmy's fault, in my opinion.
Well, Brock really did, you know, his elbow exploded on national television in front of everyone. It was gruesome. He's gotten hurt too. This is a team that doesn't invest in pass protection, that often will ask a tight end such as Eric Sobert to block a defensive end. Like, no joke. And they will do the one-on-one pass blocking drills, O-line against D-line. This year, they have tight ends in there. Sobert will start out in there as a blocker, and he will have reps against defensive ends. Like, they are preparing. That's why they like Eric Sobert, because they want to call that freaking play. So on a team that has that kind of philosophy, I think the backup quarterback matters.
On a team that has only had 2 years under Kyle Shanahan where the quarterback stayed healthy the entire year, it becomes an important position. So I think that's why. Let's talk wide receiver, man, and maybe we could like kind of leave BA out of it for now. I guess we're going to talk about him later, but Debo, Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, none of them played in the preseason game. We know what we have in Debo and Juwan Jennings. We do not know what we have in Ricky Pearsall at the moment. So this is a guy I very much want to see in a preseason. And I don't know what he's going to, when he's going to show up, if he's going to show up this week or not. Maybe you have some insight on that, but haven't seen him yet. I'm a little concerned. I told everybody on your show a couple weeks ago, I think, that the closest thing, not a close thing, but the closest thing to Brandon Ayuk on this roster, the only real X that you have that can fill Brandon Ayuk void would be Chris Conley. And I think Chris Conley looked like the best wide receiver on the team on Saturday. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. No question. It seems like he should be starting if Ayuk isn't out there week one. And as far as Ricky Pearsall goes, he does remind me a whole lot of Dante Pettis. I mean, in a lot of ways, really good route runner, about the same amount of vertical speed. And they want to say that Pearsall is tougher, but we'll see about that. I mean, I noticed with Pettis that he kind of figured out, even in practice, like, I'm not going to survive in the NFL going over the middle. I'm just not built like it. I could do it in college. He was a punt returner in college, and he could go over the middle, and he pretty much figured out early on he couldn't do either one in the NFL. If he was going to make a living, it was going to be near the sideline so he could stay healthy. And I think Pearsall's been billed as like a slot guy, a guy who's super tough and can make one-handed catches over the middle. Like, is he built like that, though? Because anytime he goes to the ground in practice, he gets hurt. He came back for a week and then made a catch, went down, hurt his shoulder, been out. So I don't know if his body is built to be that kind of receiver, be the kind of receiver he was in college. And if he's just a guy who plays on the outside, is he like scaring anyone with his speed? I don't know. I'm skeptical.
Another guy that's been kind of disappointed, not because of his play, just because we haven't been able to see him, is the fifth round draft pick Jacob Cowing. We haven't seen him at all
do
yet.
Anything.
And yeah, that's unfortunate. I mean, he has that quick, short burst speed, and I would love to see it. But again, Ricky Pearsall, Jacob Cowing, we haven't seen anything from.
Well, Ricky Pearsall's had like brief little flashes in camp here and there. Like Cowing's done nothing. Yeah. Even when he's healthy, it's like, was he out there today? I didn't notice. I mean, maybe he's caught four or five passes all offseason, and they're like screens or, you know, they're like nothing. I thought he was going to be the guy who was just like the practice MVP, but no, not yet.
You know who I wanted who is would have filled the role of Ricky Pearsall, Jacob Cowing, and even Trent Taylor, who I want to talk about. It was Malik Washington, who the Miami Dolphins ended up drafting at pick like 184. That's who I wanted, and he has looked great. Like Mike McDaniel just gave a speech about how good the guys looked, and he's a kick returner, punt returner too. I want to know this, Grant. Why, after extending Juwan Jennings, who's your slot receiver, different, you know, big, different kind of slot receiver, that's the position he plays. Why, after extending Juwan Jennings, why do you go out and sign three dudes basically for the same role, which is Ricky Pearsall, Jake Cowan, and then you add Trent Taylor to that? Three small slot receiver type dudes. What was the thinking behind that?
I could never tell you Kyle Shanahan's thinking. I don't know. It just seems like he's obsessed with wide receivers, and he feels confident scouting that position. But it's interesting. You just mentioned that the Dolphins got one in the draft, and the Niners haven't proven they did this year. And Mike McDaniel seems to be have a great eye for this stuff. And when the Niners drafted Debo and Jennings and Ayuk, McDaniel was on the team. And ever since he left, the Niners have kind of had to like trade for proven players to play on offense. They had to keep this team together because they haven't exactly replenished the best young player, the best young skill player they've added since McDaniel left is Jordan Mason.
And here's the thing, man. I definitely want to see Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowan. I want to see them get healthy because I want to see what they look like in kick return, punt return, because I can tell you right now, Ronnie Bell and Trent Taylor are not the answer there. Trent Taylor, I don't know if people realize this, but this guy's 5'8", runs a 4.6, 4.40. That was coming out of the draft. And now he's like, what? I don't know how old this guy is. Zero lateral movement. He looked like boiled chicken out there. No salt, no pepper. Like, I don't understand why Trent Taylor's on this team. No offense to Trent Taylor, but like, this guy had nothing for me on the kick return. They kept force feeding him the ball, and he can catch it. He can get open to some degree against second, third, fourth stringers, and he can catch the ball. But once the ball is in his hands, you get nothing from Trent Taylor. Zero lateral movement, zero jukes. Like, he ran that sweep and then just like, I don't even want to try to juke. Like, I don't understand the Trent Taylor fascination from Kyle Shanahan. Do you get it?
Yeah, he knows Trent Taylor. He likes Trent Taylor. He trusts Trent Taylor. He loves old players. And Trent Taylor knows the system. So he's always going to be, he'd rather have an older guy than someone who's struggling to pick up his system. I mean, I think the number one skill you can have as a player is knowing Kyle Shanahan's system. That's why Brandon Allen has a leg up over Joshua Dobbs. It's why Trent Taylor has a leg up over Ronnie Bell. He left the Niners and went to Cincinnati that runs the same system. So he can just, at any given moment, run into the game, hear the play call, and know exactly what to do. He wouldn't do it well, but he would know what to do poorly.
And here's the thing. I mean, we haven't seen Ricky Pearsall, so I don't know. We haven't seen Jacob Cowan, so I don't know. But Frank Darby looked better than anything we've seen from those guys. That's right. He looked better than Trent Taylor, Darby. And I don't think he has a chance to make the team. Trent Taylor was pushed out into a press conference. Usually, if you're doing a press conference, you're making this team. So it's highly likely Trent Taylor makes this team. But I think it's an absolute waste of a roster spot. Give that 1.12 to Brandon Ayuk and get him in here. And I just don't understand it. I don't get the Trent Taylor fascination, personally. What do you think of? What do you think?
He's like going to be a coach on this team one day. So he feels like in the family.
Yeah.
He's in. He's one of them. Brandon Allen is one of them.
Tay Martin had himself a little day. He had a one drop, but what do you think of Tay Martin?
He seems consistent. You know, he doesn't seem like a starting wide receiver, but he seems like a guy that if he were to come in and replace a starter, that you would know exactly what he could provide. A guy like Ronnie Bell is intriguing because he'll jump 35 and he'll like sky in the air. He'll make really acrobatic catches and then he'll drop something easy. And it's like, well, are you ready? Like, can we trust you to do anything basic? Or are you just like an intriguing prospect for down the line? It seems like Tay Martin is a professional wide receiver and you know what to get from him, what you're going to get from him. I like him. Even if he doesn't make the team, I think you could probably put him on the practice squad and pull him up for certain games when you need him and he would do well.
I've been intrigued by Tay Martin for a minute, and he's a taller wide receiver, long arms. So that's different from a lot of these guys, these little tiny dudes that Kyle seems to be fascinated with. So I'm pulling for Tay Martin. Honestly, I don't think he has a chance, right? Like, it's go ahead. Yeah, something
to say. Oh, like this in terms of like the size of the wide receivers. You go back and look at the type of wide receivers Purdy played with at Iowa State, usually big guys. And right. I think he seems to have a good connection with Juwan Jennings. So maybe Kyle Shanahan should start thinking about getting players who suit Purdy. Tay Martin might be one of them.
Drafted two small ones and added another one in Trent Taylor. I don't get it. I really don't. So that's something to me. It just like get Brandon Ayuk in here because I don't know what we're doing. Adam K says, did you notice Mahomes and Reed wanted him to get reps in the preseason while we chose to rest Brock? Championship teams have a different mindset. I do think Brock will play this week. I think it's kind of normal college routine. The first week, they don't play any of the starters. Second week, they play them a little bit. Third week, they don't play them again, right?
Yeah, but like that's a good point, though, because to me, if I were a coach and Andy Reed were doing something, I would want to do what he was doing. And yeah, I didn't even notice, but Mahomes got four throws. So it looks like he got a series. And again, if that's how Andy Reid does it, I would be thinking, well, maybe that's how I should do it too, because he's the best coach. He's a future Hall of Famer, by far the best coach in the league. Like really, he's like, they say Mahomes is in a tier by himself. Reid is in a tier by himself. He's a little old school too. And yeah, I would be keeping an eye on him. Oh, Mahomes played? Yeah, I probably should play Brock one series. Mm-hmm. But Brock's a lot better than Mahomes, so and you know, maybe Mahomes needs it.
Joseph Stockbridge, super chat, $9.99. Thank you for that. Hey, Breida is a fumblator, fast, but the O-line, he's pukage. Trey Lance with his 7-yard average, a run is more enticing. Dallas looks as competitive as the Niners backups, and that's not saying much. We're going to talk Trey at the end of the show here. You got to stick around for that. We have a lot to talk about, sir. Before we do that, it's been 37 minutes and I haven't dropped a commercial from my favorite sponsor. Please give us 17 seconds. We're going to talk about the rest of the team. Trent Williams, BA, Trey Lance, all that good stuff. Stick around.
Hensley Real Estate and Mortgage has been serving all of California since 2009. I would love to help you and your family. Whether you're buying, selling, financing, or refinancing, please reach out. I'd love to help. Visit RyanGHensley.com for more information.
That was a great commercial. A great sponsor, too.
I wanted to make sure.
Talk about a company you can trust.
It does feel very trustworthy when I watch that commercial, if I do say so myself.
Hell yeah.
And it is true. Real quick, one more super chat, then we'll dive into the rest of the show. All Niners says, assume BA is gone. Who do you trust to take his place the most? For me, it's Chris Conley. That's what I said. I've been saying for 2 weeks. People thought I was weird. They need someone else off the roster.
I disagree. Jennings. To me, it's Jennings. Like, if you want to just put someone in the offense so it functions the exact same way, a guy who can run the same routes, then yeah, it's Conley. He has the speed to play X. But I think Jennings is such a better receiver, and it would be a shame if Conley had more targets than Jennings. I think a genius like Kyle Shanahan figures out a way to get Jennings on the field more. No, you don't want him split out wide, but there's a lot of tight splits in this scheme anyway. You can kind of keep him in the slot and have two receivers to one side. There's so many different ways you can get him on the field more. I think Jennings has earned it.
And truthfully, neither one of those guys should be the answer, because if you're the defense going against the 49ers and you got Deebo Samuel and Juwan Jennings being covered by your best corners, you're in for a long day. Like, you should just press man those guys to death. And
yeah. That being said, though, at least Jennings is, like, open when he's covered. Like, he's 6'3", and you could throw it up over his head, and he can make contested catches, he's and he's strong. Like, yeah. At least he gives you a little something, as opposed to Conley, who I don't think is – I mean, Conley's not going to beat good corners, man, to, you know, one-on-one.
I think Juwan Jennings is – he's great. Love him to death. Love his mentality, his physicality, his blocking. But I think he's benefited from having B.A. and Debo out there, and then he's being covered by somebody else. Sure. Right now, if you put – first best corner on Juwan, I don't know.
That's true. What I want to say real quick. The fact, though, that he didn't participate in this preseason game and Chris Conley did kind of shows the pecking order there.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
What else he's definitely going. I want to say something about Jennings. I forget. Oh, what I was saying. So we're talking about if B.A. isn't there, that's 110 targets that get redistributed. It's not like it's just going to go to one player. It's going to be Jennings gets 40 more targets and Kittle gets 20 more and Debo gets 20 more and McCaffrey gets 10 more and then Pearsall gets 20. Like, it's so whoever taking that job isn't going to get a lot of targets, I don't think.
So let's say hypothetically 49ers trade Brandon Ayuk, they don't get any X wide receiver back, and that those are your wide receivers that we just went over. I mean, are you really confident about the passing game?
I mean, I think they have enough.
And remember the narrative of the 49ers are going to a pass-first team, and that's why they drafted all these wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, they're not a fat pass-first team. They're a run-first team. And then when it comes to passing the ball, you have the best receiving running back, the second-best tight end, a top-10 wide receiver, an excellent slot receiver, the best fullback. Like, I think they have more weapons than 95% of the teams in the league. So, and then you factor in the genius that is Kyle Shanahan. And a top 10 quarterback, they should be able to have a good offense. Maybe it won't be as good as last year, but I think it'll be good enough. Like, the Chiefs just won a Super Bowl with an offense that's way less talented than the one the Niners would have without Brandon Ayuk. Seems like if they could just get a little bit more consistent performance out of their head coach, that they could win with this.
Yeah. Well, sort of like Smokey and the Bandit says, we have a long way to go and a short time to get there.
Okay.
I don't know if you watch Smokey and the Bandit, but it's one of my favorite movies from the 80s.
No.
No? Sorry.
You haven't seen Smokey and the Bandit? I missed that one. I missed that one.
You missed out, dude.
I was born in 88.
Yeah, you missed that one for sure. Mm. O-line, man. Trent Williams is out. We're going to talk about what's going on with him. But Aaron Banks, Jake Brendel, Spencer Burford out, John Feliciano, Colt McKivitz, Don McPooney, Jalen Moore. What did you see from the O-line, particularly Don Pooney?
He looked really good. He looked like he could generate a little bit of movement at the point of attack in the run game, and it looked like in the passing game he could anchor, which is like the Niners haven't had a right guard who could do either of those things in a long time. They usually have these like small guys who can run a little bit but just get moved around in the pass game and the run game. Doesn't seem like he's like that. He doesn't seem super fast, but looks like now you might be able to run the ball to the right this year. Wow. And it seems like if they were to play the Chiefs, maybe you have a guy who could like hold his own against Chris Jones sometimes. I mean, no offense to Spencer Burford. He seems like a well-meaning good guy, but he's not a right guard. They've put him there for years. I don't think he fits that position. I thought Feliciano was an upgrade, but he's practiced like 3 times this offseason. He seems hurt all the time and maybe on the verge of retiring. So I think Pooney's really important and probably their best rookie right now. Yeah. Why does this thing keep doing that? Sorry.
Well, I'll take issue with the best rookie thing. I'm going to talk about my favorite rookie.
Okay.
Later on. Okay. But I do think Don Pooney looked really good, and that's a bright point coming out of this game. It was great to see, and I think he is going to start at right guard, especially with Spencer Burford being injured.
There's a lot of pressure on Pooney right now. Like, hey, man, there's a wide open door for you to start at right guard. Show that you belong, and so far he's stepping up. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, man, Pooney was one of the top three guys I was excited about coming out of, actually top two. He was one of my top two coming out of the draft for the 49ers, and it's definitely paid off. I'm excited about Pooney, that they do have some kind of upgrade there. Now, about the future, that's a different story, but I think overall Pooney looked pretty good. Outside of that, was there anyone else that impressed you? I was surprised Nick Sakells was so high up on the depth chart for the 49ers, having played center. In this game, I really wasn't expecting Nick Sakells to be so high up. Were you expecting that?
No, I wasn't. It made me think that maybe he's going to make the team. Because, yeah. Again, like, maybe the backup center would have been Feliciano. But I think we need to start thinking about whether Feliciano's going to play this year. I mean, he's been hurt the whole time. And if they like Nick Zakel, maybe they just go with a younger guy who can do the same job. So all of a sudden, I'm looking at him as potential 53-man roster guy.
Yeah, that was interesting to me. Well, let's go to the other side of the ball. One of the players I was most surprised with, who did better than I even expected and anticipated. Some of the guys that did good, I kind of figured they were going to do good. But this guy came out of nowhere for me, which is Kalia Davis. He looked great, man. I feel like he secured his spot on the roster after that game. What'd you think of Kalia?
Yeah, I mean, in the one-on-one drills in practice, he's like that. He's disruptive. He looks bigger than he did in the past. He looks powerful. And you wonder if that's going to like translate to the games. And it did. It looked like in the run game, he was blowing up plays. In the pass game, he was getting in the backfield. It looks like he's not just stout, but he's also can work edges and be a pass rusher. It looks like all of a sudden they have like a nice prospect at D tackle. Like, is he better than Kevin Givens? The Niners usually go 8 deep on the D line. So now in their second string D line, which is going to play like 25% of the snaps, is he in that? It might need to be him and Jordan Elliott.
Yeah. I mean, right now on the
thing is Kevin Givens, but he's not much of a run defender. It's kind of small.
This game switched those two guys, right? I had Javon Hargrave, Malik Collins, Jordan Elliott, and then I had Kevin Givens. But after this game, I got Kalia Davis over Kevin Givens. I didn't see anything from Kevin Givens. And who kept jumping off sides twice? Who was that? Was that on the
T.Y. McGill?
T.Y. McGill. Yeah, didn't help himself in this last game with that. Yeah, and
T.Y. McGill is one of these like career practice squad guys. Has been with the Niners for a minute, going to be with the Niners for a minute. Alex Barrett is another one of these guys. He's always out there during the regular season. He's on their practice squad. It's like, dude, you're 37. Why are you – what are you doing? How much do they pay you? Why are you here?
Yeah, and Shaquel Brown, he had a couple little things. It looked okay. Evan Anderson, the undrafted free agent, he didn't really jump out to me. I think to me it's Javon right now. If they don't add anybody, and I do think they're going to add somebody on this D-line from free agency, but right now it's Javon Hargrave, Malik Collins, Jordan Elliott, and Kalia Davis, no question to me on the inside. On the outside, Nick Bosa, Leonard Floyd, Yetur Gross-Matos, and then did anyone jump out at you? Honestly, Jonathan Garvier, the guy they signed, he was the guy that looked like something there, but honestly, I don't know if they're done at D-end. Did anyone else? Robert Beal didn't really do much for me. They have three DNs that are going to make it for sure, and Nick Bosa, Leonard Floyd, Yetur Gross-Matos. But after that, who do you have making this team? Is there anybody?
It seems like Robert Beal's going to make the team by default. But you're right. Like, they seem like they need another edge player. Honestly, Jonathan Garvin looked like the better one. He flashed a few times. Maybe he makes the team.
Yeah, I feel like Jonathan
Garvin. Is that desperate there? Yeah.
Out of or
maybe they just
guys,
trade Brandon Ayuk for an edge player.
They got to do something. I don't feel like they're done at edge here. They got to figure out something. Maybe defensive tackle, honestly, with those four dudes, might be stronger than it was last year, and that's a surprise for me because of Kalia Davis. But the edge, not as good as I expected so far outside of those main three guys. So we're going to have to see if somebody emerges. Mm-hmm. Linebacker, sir. Fred Warner, obviously, is Fred Warner. Foot irritation, but hopefully he does good. Dre Greenlaw is going to be out for the first 4 weeks, probably appears in week 5. It seems like that's what's going to happen. So in the meantime, you got a couple guys. D Winter's really fast, flash to the ball, tackling issues. The whole team kind of had tackling issues, though. No practicing of tackling for the 49ers so far. That's the first time they've tackled in months. So I'm hopeful that's the situation. I thought Curtis Robinson actually looked better than I anticipated. And Tatum Bethune, the young guy, Jalen Graham kind of didn't do anything. I was kind of surprised by that. Demetrius Flanagan Fowles was injured. What did you see from the linebackers, and how do you see that playing out?
Well, I thought I was focused on Dre Greenlaw. I mean, excuse me, D Winters to start. And he's had a great camp, but camp is different. Like, you don't have to finish the play. You don't have to actually make the tackle. And it's kind of hard to see who's giving up the catches and coverage. It seemed like he is very fast, but he's a little bit like a chicken with his head cut off. Like, is he going the right direction? Not always clear that he is. And in coverage, it seemed like he was a little lost. So I still think he has a lot of potential, but I'm not sure that he's definitely ready to like start yet on this team. The guy I like the most was Tatum Bethune. He's not as fast as Dre Greenlaw or D Winters. We're in a 4.77, which is kind of troubling, but it seemed like between the tackles, he had a really good knack of like not being blocked and making the tackle like near the line of scrimmage, like doing all the things you want a linebacker to do. He was very intriguing, and he actually seemed more advanced and ready to play and consistent than Graham or Winters. I'd like to see Tatum Bethune play a little earlier in the upcoming weeks. Looks good.
Outside of what's the guy's name? Schrader. Outside of Schrader, Jalen Graham was the other guy that's the and again, it's week one. Maybe he bounces back. But you heard a lot of great praise for Jalen Graham coming out of training camp. And when the game, during the game on Saturday, I didn't really see anything from Jalen Graham. So that was a little disappointing for me.
I don't really see it with Graham. Like, he's tall and he's in good shape and he, like, shows his abs and you can tell he's a good athlete and stuff. But he didn't play linebacker in college. I think he was a safety and he's trying to show that he can be a middle linebacker. Fred Warner made a similar transition, but not a lot of people do that. And he looks like a young, he still looks like rookie Fred Warner in the sense when he goes to finish and wrap up a tackle, it seems like the ball carrier takes him for a ride. Robert Saleh used to call that leaky yardage. Like, you're a linebacker, you hit the guy 3 yards past the line of scrimmage and it ends up being a 5 yard run. So you gave up 2 yards of leaky yardage on a 5 yard carry. Like, that can't happen. When you're a good linebacker, there's a collision and you knock that dude back. And Fred Warner went from a guy who would get dragged to a guy who would at least, he's not the biggest hitter, but he doesn't get knocked backward anymore. And Graham, I thought, was getting knocked backward. And again, that you can't be playing linebacker for the Niners if that's who you are. Like, you need another year of not practice, but like weight lifting and stuff. So I wasn't so impressed with Graham. I'm not sure he or Winters is going to be. Now you know why Devondre Campbell is here. They need just veterans they can depend on.
I will say with Winters, my opinion on Winters, I'm not as concerned, I think, about as you are on the tackling, because he's flashing so fast to the ball and he's there so fast to the ball. I think the tackling, like the finishing the play, is something that he could probably learn, right?
I agree.
And so I know.
Go ahead.
His talent is so high end that I feel like they'll figure that part out. He'll figure that out. I think it's a little Talanoa Hufanga, right? First year, yeah. Same similar type of thing, flashing, always around the play, but just wasn't finishing. And then second year, he figured it out. Maybe that's what happens with D Winters as time goes by.
It's a good point. And think about the type of defense he's getting potentially inserted into. An older defense, played for a while together, knows what they're doing, very smart, not a lot of missed assignments, but they could use a little bit more speed. So if you had one dude out there who was a little bit of a loose cannon and might not always have the right assignment, but he's the first dude to the ball. Even if he misses the tackle, he slows the guy up and the rest of the defense can rally. It might be nice to have a young, fast guy who can cause havoc. The Niners could use that.
Yeah. Yeah, I walked away watching.
I mean, Greenlaw was that guy.
Yeah.
That's Greenlaw.
I walked away after watching Winters and was excited about him. So I know he had the tackling issue, but I think he can work that out because dude is an athlete big time. Yeah,
he's got two more preseason games. We'll see where he goes from here. He still hasn't had like extended action with this defense.
Correct. All right, man. Safety, Jair Brown looked great. George Odom looked solid. Talanoa Hufanga is supposed to be cleared to practice over the next week or so. But my favorite rookie, and I told everyone, I gotta pull my receipts here. I told everybody that we need to draft Malik Mustafa. Then they drafted Malik Mustafa, and I told everybody he's going to be my favorite. He's the best rookie out here. And I don't know. Maybe I'm just already biased, but I feel like he looked like the best rookie. He looked like a freaking rocket, a missile. I'm hella hyped on Malik Mustafa, man. What'd you think of him?
Yeah, he made that big hit on defense, and then he made another nice play on special teams. Yeah. It looked like he really asserted himself. And usually there's like one rookie or one young guy who does something, and you're like, oh, wow, you're – all of your athleticism translates to this level. You are not like you are one of the top athletes out here and you're confident. And the fact that you haven't played much doesn't really matter. Yeah. And it's interesting. You know, the Niners traded essentially Trey Lance straight up for Malik Mustafa. So that Trey Lance trade is kind of controversial. You gave him up for very little. He could go on to be something. But like if you ended up trading him for a starting safety who ends up being one of your better players, then OK. Yeah, that's a very interesting player.
Malik, I think, is going to be a dude for a long time to come, man. He was awesome.
He looks fast. He looks yoked. He looks violent. He seems like he's playing fast, like he knows what to do. Obviously, they won't put him on the field too quickly because they don't trust young guys. That's just how Kyle is. But if Hufanga isn't the same or doesn't come back quite soon enough, or George Odom has to start and gets, exposed a little bit. I mean, it's a 30-year-old DB who's had any number of opportunities to play safety and hasn't really seized the opportunity. If he gives it up, then Mustafa could take that quick. Talk about two guys who could add a lot of violence and speed to this defense, him and Winters.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited about both those guys. So that was cool.
He's a nice compliment for Jair Brown, too. I mean, like, Hufanga isn't super fast, and Jair Brown isn't super fast either. It'd be nice to have a safety with, like, some 4-4 speed, and that's Mustafa.
Dude, he was clocked at 23 miles per hour during a game in college.
Wow. Yeah, he's going to end up – well, we know they're not going to re-sign Hufanga unless it's really cheap. They don't spend that much on safety, so – probably Mustafa will be the starting strong safety next to Jair Brown by next season, and looks like he could be a good one.
Yeah, excited about him. Corner, Traverius Ward, Diamador Lenore, obviously we know what they do. Renardo Green didn't really do much in this game. I thought his coverage was okay, and he did get two tackles, so he didn't, like, flash or anything, but he didn't flash in a negative way either, so I thought that was good. But not as much, hype as Malik or D. Winters or Pooney. But I thought he was solid. One thing I noticed, Rocky Sin has good coverage, but he was a very delicate tackler. He's definitely not known for tackling, I'm assuming. I haven't seen a lot of him, but his tackling was very cornerish, right? Very Deion Sanders towards the end of his career. But his coverage was good. What'd you see from the corners in general?
It seemed like Rocky Sin is going to make this team. Again, I think the Niners are approaching this as, they have a future, and it's important, but it's all about this year. So if they're going to have to, like, cut a young guy who may have some potential to keep a dependable backup, they'll do that. And he looks like a better player than Logan Ryan, who was on the field in the Super Bowl a lot. So I think right now the corners they're going to keep are obviously the Lenore and Ward, and then Yadam and Green and Yassin. Those five.
Yeah.
And everyone else, I don't know, like Ambry Thomas, well, he's hurt. Samuel Womack, Darrell Luter Jr., you're going to have to do something to convince the Niners to keep a sixth corner. Because last year they didn't. And I haven't seen much from Luter or Womack to warrant that.
Yeah. Or Chase Luke. Chase Luke has actually had some decent coverage, but the ball went right over his hands. So
practice squad.
Yeah. And then, honestly, I don't mean this in any disrespectful way, and I'm sorry to hear Ambry Thomas broke his forearm. Hope he heals up strong. Yeah. But, like, that could be a blessing in disguise for Ambry Thomas, because I don't know if he was going to make the team
right
otherwise, and that might keep him around another year, give him another opportunity to come back and try again. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's pretty much it. Jake Moody, Mitch Wisnowski, Tabor, always the elite.
I thought Tabor looked way better, man. His the spirals.
Stock up. Stock
so
up
good.
On
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is Mitch Wisnowski got a long-term injury or just something short-term? Do you know?
I don't know. They're not very – we'll find out, I guess. But his replacement is awful, man. That guy had a 30-yard punt. He boomed it from the 35 to the 35. It was incredible.
Presley. Yeah, he's got a boot, man. The guy has a boot. Okay, so let's switch it up now. Let's talk about the latest Brandon Ayuk news. I want to get your take on this. I thought it was very interesting. A report came out saying Brandon Ayuk says he refuses to play on a fifth-year option. I didn't know he had a choice. What did you think of that? Does he actually have a choice to not play on a fifth-year option? I'm confused.
Yeah, I mean, he can hold out. I think we've seen players do this last year.
He's got to play six games or else he has
to play. He'll have to play six games, but we were wondering, will he suit up week one if he doesn't have an extension? Like, he's holding in. Does he want those fine? Like, will he, sacrifice game checks, all that stuff? Well, he just said he will. So that's good to know. Like, if they don't get him to an extension, don't expect him to be on the field week one when they play the Jets. And, adjust the betting lines accordingly. That seems to be what he's saying. Maybe he's lying. Maybe he's bluffing. But I would take him at his word.
I think why I misunderstood is because I assumed that that was what he would do anyways if they put him on the fifth-year option. I assumed he wasn't going to show up until he had to. So when he that report came out saying he refused to play on a fifth-year option, I thought he meant like he's not going to play at all, but that makes sense now. I get it.
And maybe the Niners are like, cool, man, whatever you want to do, if you want to take 10 games off and not be an all-pro this year and have like kind of weak numbers, that's fine. We can win without you. We have a bunch of weapons, and then we'll get you back for December. And January, maybe February, and great, we'll look at you as like a midseason trade acquisition. Like we'll make it work for us. Maybe that's what they're telling themselves. I still think it's a distraction they don't need, but that could be how the Niners spin this if it gets to that.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what happens, man. Right now, my feeling is they have nothing agreed upon with either situation. Like the Pittsburgh, they've given the 49ers their offer. I don't see them upping that offer unless a receiver on their team gets hurt or something. And so I don't know where that's going. Part of me feels like Brandon Ayuk would rather play for Pittsburgh, honestly. And then I don't know if the Niners are willing to come up on their offer to extend him. So it's like, where is this headed? It feels 50-50. I feel like there's no conclusion despite all these reports that keep coming out. Where do you see this headed? Where do you think it's at?
With Ayuk or with Trent?
Ayuk.
With Ayuk, I think they're going to trade him to the Steelers. I feel like they're acting as if this fifth-year option thing is a better option than just giving him away to the Steelers for some picks next year. But I don't know. I think what could happen is they drag their feet. Week one doesn't play. Week two doesn't play. Week three doesn't play. And the Niners feel like, you know what? If we do get him back at some point, we don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in, if he's going to be a football shape, where his head's going to be at. I think at a certain point, they'll be like, getting rid of this distraction will be better for our team than potentially getting some version of Ayuk at some point this season. I think that it may take them a while to figure that out, but by mid-September, or mid-October when the trade deadline comes around and he still hasn't played a game, it may be like, you know what, screw this. Pittsburgh, let's do it. That's kind of what I think is going to happen. I don't think they're going to offer Ayuk enough money to bridge the gap. If they... Why haven't they already? They said last week they've engaged him in contract negotiations. Like he just agreed to one with the Steelers. You know exactly what he wants. Either offer him that plus more because you're California, or don't. I don't understand.
Seems like a waste of time. Whatever's going to happen should have happened already. I mean, maybe they're just trying to wait it out and hopefully it gets desperate, I guess, but it just seems like a bad plan. I would rather move on. Like I would rather, obviously, I would have rather extended him a long time ago when you could have saved some money. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I've been saying I wanted to do. But at this point where you're at right now, just trade him or extend him or just tell him, hey, man, we're planning on the fifth-year option. See you in week 11. At this point, like, figure it out, make a decision, make it happen. That's how I feel about the BA situation.
It just seems like what a good coach wants to do, especially when you're trying to win a championship, is you want to make the focus on the team. One team. The focus on the team and the product on the field. But by letting Ayuk stay here on the fifth-year option and potentially hold out, you're creating the number one story, you know, something that's not the team, an individual, not the team, and it's not football. It's business. I just don't think that's the backdrop to the sixth Lombardi trophy. Last year, they were totally focused and dialed in, and it seemed like that's what they needed to get the number one seed and to go as far as they did. This year feels like a whole different thing.
Yeah, not good vibes, brother. Adam K, do you think our roster is better than last year, especially without BA? What are our chances of making the Super Bowl with him? I think our roster is beat the hell up, and without BA and without Trent Williams on the team right now, it's hard to say what I think of them. I want to see what happens with those two situations before I can. What do you think, Grant?
On paper, it's still a great roster, but yeah, McCaffrey's calf hurts, Warner's foot hurts. There's like 23 players injured. And that's not even the biggest story at camp. The biggest story at camp is business stuff with Ayuk and Trent Williams. They really haven't gotten locked in yet. So, is the roster better than last year? I mean, that's not really the issue right now.
Yeah, Moses Rosales says, "What do you guys think about the Jets this season?"
Good question.
What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are I think they have a hell of a roster, a hell of a head coach, and maybe the worst offensive coordinator in football. And I think Nathaniel Hackett is going to mess it up. I do. I think essentially having him as the offensive coordinator means that Aaron Rodgers is the offensive coordinator. And I don't think he's that kind of a player. He always wanted to be in the Tom Brady, Peyton Manning class, but those guys are
invested. I mean, he's not
Aaron Rodgers can throw the ball like them, but he can't lead a team like them.
He's not mentally invested, I don't think. Yeah. Mm-mm. I think that's a problem. Weirdo. Aaron Rodgers. So it's going to all depend on Aaron Rodgers to me, right? Like, where's his mind at? When Aaron Rodgers is focused and dialed in, they do. He's been amazing. But that was years ago.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. Yeah. City Bear or City Bert, thoughts on Sorensen so far? Chances Salah is back. What do you think, Grant?
I don't know. I noticed that they were trying to show a lot of pressures in this game and then backing out of them and then just getting beaten to the flat repeatedly. Did you notice that? Yeah. And like Greg Popple was like, the Niners keep getting beat to the flat. And Tim Ryan's like, well, yeah, but I mean, look where these guys are getting lined up before the snap. I mean, it's kind of ambitious to ask them to get out there. So I'd like to know. I still think that the Frankenstein combination of Nick Sorensen and Brandon Staley have a lot to prove when it's actually time to game plan and make adjustments mid-game together.
Yeah. And I don't really have too many thoughts on them yet because one is preseason. They're going to keep it pretty vanilla, I'm assuming. But the run defense was a big concern to me on that, particularly on the edges. So that's something to watch. But obviously, preseason week one.
Same old, same old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adam K says, Grant, do you think Kyle has learned from the Super Bowl loss and how unprepared they were, especially with the OT rules debacle?
Okay. This is a great question. This is sort of more like a human nature answer I'm going to give. Like, some people doesn't everyone know someone who like really can't be honest with themselves about something bad they've done? Most people have enough self-esteem. Most adults have enough self-esteem to be like, you know what? I messed up. That's on me, but it doesn't mean that I suck. I'm not going to go into a shame spiral of I'm the worst and I'm an imposter. Like I messed up. But I can fix this. I can learn from this. I can be better. I think most adults have that self-esteem. Some don't. You know some friends, some people who just can't go there. It's always, because if they did, it'd be like, man, I really suck. Like there'd be this whole spiral that you'd have to help them get out of. So they just fall back on, it was my fault. It was my fault. And those are the people in your life that have the least insight into themselves. They're always a victim of some circumstance or bad luck. You know people like that. You love them, but they have, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much insight do they have in themselves? A 1. That's Kyle, man. And that's why he's so interesting. He's so good. But if he had some self-insight, he would be a champion right now. He has next to no self-insight. So that's why it was Steve Wilkes' fault.
Yeah. I think, does he know the rules now? Yes. But has he changed? And I wouldn't say no. No, he hasn't changed.
No.
As a coach. King Leonard says, just joined. Any Huff update? And Curry saved USA. Huff dates. Yeah, Huff's supposed to be, I believe, clear to practice sometime within the next week. That's been the report that's come out.
They practiced today in 4 hours. Let's see if he's out there. Then they have tomorrow off. I would imagine not today, not tomorrow. Thursday was supposed to be... Wednesday is the next one. Let's see if he practices Wednesday. Yeah. Wednesday would be the day.
And you're not wrong about Curry, man. That was one of the best basketball games, best moments I've seen from a basketball player in general. Those last 2 minutes. Absolutely ridiculous.
Does that increase his standing all time? Like, do people look at him and be like, actually, no, he's whatever his ranking was on my all-time great ranking, he's now higher?
I hope so, man. I think Curry is hated on a lot. This dude is phenomenal. If you look at the two most influential basketball players of my lifetime, at least, I can't speak before I was born, Michael Jordan and Steph Curry are those guys. They are the most influential players I've ever seen. They changed the game.
I think if you were doing the exercise, which is a lot of fun, like the all-time starting five, let's make the best starting five all time. Who is in that team? I feel like Curry's always on that team.
I feel like
he fits whatever unit you put out there. Magic. So to me, he has to be a top five player all time if he's on that team.
Some people would say Magic, but I feel like Steph at this point, as great as Magic was, is doing stuff no one's ever done.
But what I would say is, like, even if you had Magic on that team, Steph fits on that team. Steph can play with any combination of great players you could imagine, and he has to be on. Everyone needs his shooting and playmaking.
Yeah, Steph. Amazing, man. Super fun to watch. Brother Bob says, Kyle Levy learned not because they would win a Super Bowl. Brother Bob, typical Brother Bob comment. Thank you, Bob. All right, man. Trent Williams. So it's kind of been my belief that Trent Williams' situation is hindered a little bit on the BA situation. Maybe not, but from a structure standpoint, I think they want to sign him and they would give him whatever he wanted regardless. But they probably want to see what's going to happen with the BA situation because of structure-wise. But somebody just told me, and I wasn't aware of this, and I don't know if it's true. I haven't confirmed it, that Trent Williams is actually expecting a baby very soon. And so he's at home, doesn't want to miss that, doesn't want to go to training camp because he's got a baby on the way. And I don't know if he's actually, like, is he contemplating not coming back? What's your opinion on what's going to happen with Trent Williams?
I just think it's interesting that there's been no reporting on it. All the reporting is on the Brandon Ayuk situation, which is interesting because really the reporting just keeps going in circles on that one. There hasn't really been an update, but there's always an update every day. But with Trent, It's like radio freaking silence. So it does kind of seem like he didn't want to be at training camp anyway. He kind of needed an excuse not to show up for a lot of reasons. And maybe the Niners feel like, you know what, he'll have this baby and the season will come around and he'll be a little bit more reasonable, work something out at the deadline. Maybe that's what they're telling themselves. But it seems a little scary because he has so much leverage. He could say, you have $31 million in cap space. I want to be the highest paid offensive lineman this year. I want a big raise and all of it guaranteed. And I don't know that the Niners are prepared to do that. So I'm curious to see how this works out.
I was figuring it was a done deal, no brainer, and then he'll show up at some point. And then Kyle was asked about it Saturday after the game, and this is his quote. They said, Kyle, are you more hopeful about the Trent Williams situation? He says, I mean, no. I mean, I am hopeful about it, and I feel good about it, and I'm optimistic about it, but nothing has changed. So he's like, no.
I mean,
yes.
No.
No, yes. I wasn't expecting to hear him say, I mean, no.
I mean,
and then
no.
He's like, I mean, I am. I mean, I am hopeful about it. Like, that was a weird answer to me.
Yeah. Not inspiring a lot of confidence. I mean, no. All I know is they can beat the Jets week one without Brandon Ayuk. I don't think they can beat the Jets week one without Trent Williams. So this is the most important, because if they don't have Brandon Ayuk, they can trade Brandon Ayuk. They can do things. You're not trading Trent Williams. You either have him or you don't. He's either there or is a big negative minus. I don't know. We'll see.
If they don't get Trent and if they don't have Brandon Ayuk, I don't think they make the playoffs. Sorry, I don't.
If they don't miss the playoffs, if they don't make the playoffs, does Kyle get that excuse or do people finally look at him and be like, dude, what did you do this year? How did you mismanage your team that bad? Or does he skate? He's just the head coach. This was business.
Well, when you say people, it depends on what you mean. Does York change his mind on Kyle Shanahan? No. Maybe a couple more fans, 3% more of the fan base will feel that way, but I don't think anything changes. I confirmed something that I think we've all been talking about, and maybe you know, maybe a lot of people know, but I actually reached out and talked to somebody about how the front office structure works with the 49ers. And this is what I was told. Jed York essentially is a silent partner. He always defers to Kyle Shanahan. Parag, a lot of people want to blame this contract stuff on Parag. Parag just gives them numbers. Like, this is what the numbers look like depending on what you guys decide. Here's some alternatives if you want to structure it this way, but ultimately you guys decide. And then John Lynch and Kyle talk about everything, have honest conversations, but ultimately Kyle decides. So basically, ultimately, this is Kyle's team. It's not Parag's fault, not John Lynch's fault. You got to give all the credit to Kyle. You got to give the blame to Kyle because he runs the whole show.
And I think people are starting to realize that the reason the Niners haven't won a Super Bowl yet and the biggest factor that's going to influence whether they get over the hump this year is Kyle. For years, I think people thought it was Jimmy. Like, okay, well, they got the coach and they got the supporting cast, but if they're going to win the Super Bowl this year, Jimmy has a lot to prove. Jimmy needs to go out there and take his game to another level and show that he's mastered the system and really play well in the playoffs. It was always about Jimmy, but no one talks that way about Brock. No one's like, well, if the Niners are going to win the Super Bowl this year, Brock's really going to have to show that he's ready and that he's like, nah, it seems like he has very little to prove. All he has to do is keep doing what he's doing. Kyle is the one who has the pattern with whoever the quarterback is, whatever the opponent is. It's his pattern. I think everyone understands that now. And everyone's like, is this the year that Kyle finally figures it out? Well, we'll see if it is. And if this is the year he misses the playoffs, people are going to hold him accountable. He's not going to have the same excuses. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, man. We'll see. Well, sir,
I want to talk about Trey Lance.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Is we got to see Trey Lance play for some extended time for the first time in a long time. What were your thoughts of watching him play the Rams yesterday?
I thought, as a passer, he was like boring in a good way. He did the dinking and the dunking. He took the layups. He was accurate enough. I did think he looked improved. I thought his footwork was excellent. I felt like you could see that he's with a coach that can teach more than just a system, that can actually teach mechanics. I thought his drops looked crisp. I thought he looked faster than he ever looked with the Niners. He had some nice scrambles. He had a zone read run. I thought his running really looked good, and he didn't look like a starting quarterback. Maybe he'll be one in the future, but he looked like a guy who hasn't played much in the last 4 years, who's finally being developed the right way. And I love that they gave him the whole game to play. Throw 41 passes. He's not going to show that he's not going to win a job, but he's going to get the reps that he needs, and he'll get another one next week. I'm sure they'll take the same approach. I bet you they're going to give him all the reps in preseason, and he's not going to take Dak's job or even maybe Cooper Rush's, but those are reps he should have got with the Niners years ago. So it finally feels like his development is starting. And it just seems like you should say the Niners should have kept him, but I don't think he was ever the right. They were ever the right team for him. He needed to go to a team that could actually coach him, give him time and reps. And I think he's in the right place now. So good for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought overall he looked improved, like for a lot of the reasons why you mentioned, like a lot of the people that can't make the easy throws. Well, he did the whole game. That's all he did, really, right? He did have some off target stuff, not really leading guys, or the placement might've been a little off. A couple deep shots, the fade route that they gave him was off. Another one on the right side was off. So he had some not great throws, but he also had like 9 drops from these receivers. He was playing with like these guys that aren't going to make the team against guys that aren't going to make the team. One thing I want to see him do is just be able to hit that back foot and get it out from a timing standpoint. But when you look at his receivers, I don't think they were really open. Overall, I thought he looked better. I mean, not great, not a starter level right now, but I think he looked improved for sure. Hell of a lot
better than Josh Dobbs and Brandon Allen to me. That's just me, though. I mean, he's such a better runner than those guys. He averaged like 7.5 yards a carry. He looked pretty good as a passer. He's 6 months younger than Brock Purdy. I still think he should be here, even though the Niners never really committed to developing him or knew how. It just seemed like he'd still be the better option. And the reason he's not here is because they brought in Sam Darnold so they could teach him the system, so that he could start for the Vikings this year. Like, they got nothing out of the Sam Darnold experience. He did nothing for them. And by bringing him in and helping the Vikings, you now also helped the Cowboys and gave them an interesting young quarterback with some serious upside, just so you could be picking between Brandon Allen and Joshua Dobbs a year later. Like, that just seems so unnecessary.
The only reason they got rid of Trey Lance is because they didn't want a distraction of or a competition. They're paying him 5 times what they're paying Brock Purdy this year. They're paying him $5 million. The 49ers are paying Trey Lance $5 million.
Let's talk about the distraction thing. Okay, you didn't want Trey to be a distraction. He wasn't saying anything. He wasn't talking to the media. He wasn't going on social media. He was just existing on the roster, and the Niners were like, well, too many people are talking about him. He has to go. Okay, doesn't the same logic apply tenfold to Brandon Ayuk? Even if he were on the team, not even saying anything, like, he's a distraction, right? In a much bigger way than Trey ever was. So he has to go. You can't have that.
That's what makes me feel like they're not going to fifth year option Brandon Ayuk, because it seems like the Niners are concerned about distractions in the locker room. And Trey's not a distraction in the locker room. It was the media, the press, the fans that made Trey.
It'll be the same thing with Brandon. Brandon's in the locker room. Brandon has it on his fifth year option. Oh, I saw Brandon today. He walked through. He didn't talk to any of his teammates. He looked like he was in a bad mood. Every day that someone's going to have Brandon watch. I saw him. He didn't look happy. Or he was having a great time. He was talking to Debo. I think he's in a good mood. Oh, but today he's not. What does that mean?
Yeah.
That's going to be the whole thing. I don't think they want that.
Yeah. And with Trey, man, like, you do see that potential with him. He's got a hell of a cannon. He's fast. He's big, strong, athletic. He does have the potential, if he can figure out the other stuff, to be a starter at some point. I still feel that way about Trey Lance when I watch him. He does have flashes that, like, you're like, damn, this guy is very talented. It's just the mental part that comes from reps and playing football. And that's why, you know, for his sake, I'm glad the Cowboys are giving him that chance.
when he was with the Niners, he seemed like a guy who was super hesitant to do anything in the pocket, pull the freaking trigger. Like it seemed like he was just hesitating, or like either pull the trigger or scramble. And when he scrambled, he seemed slow. When he made decisions in the pocket, it seemed slow. All I know is when the other day with the Cowboys, everything seemed like on time. He was making decisions, getting the ball out of his hands and using his legs effectively. And he looked fast. And you forget that he mangled his freaking leg 2 years ago. And last year, he probably wasn't fully recovered yet. And now he looks fully healthy and confident that he can run. And it's like, oh, that was the guy we saw at North Dakota State. So maybe it'll never work. Maybe these like he pretty much had like 4 years on the shelf. And maybe that just ruined his career. But he's still 24. He just turned 24 like 4 months ago.
A rookie at this point.
Yeah.
And he looked absolutely a hell of a lot better than Stetson Bennett.
He should be on this team. There is no good reason they got rid of him. So they could teach Sam Darnold the system for a year so that the Vikings could sign him. So they could really develop Brandon Allen. So they could go and get Joshua Dobbs. Like, nah, he should have been here. And just because he was your backup and you gave up all that draft capital for him and people are interested in him, it was not a good reason to get rid of him. If you're going to stomach the distraction of Brandon Ayuk in a fifth-year option, you could have handled having Trey Lance as a backup quarterback and having a good quarterback room.
Yeah, I still think Trey can – The thing for Trey, he's got to go to a team at some point where they just give him the year. Here's the year, man. Let's see what you can do. And I feel like that's the only way he's going to improve to where he needs to be. But I feel like that potential is there. Now, will that ever happen? I don't know.
I'm not sure that'll ever happen. But yeah, he'll have to earn that. But in the meantime, it's nice that a team gives him the whole preseason. The Niners should have done this. This is how you develop a quarterback who needs reps. Give him all the reps that don't count. All of them. 100% of them. Yeah. And maybe he'll work out. Maybe he'll blossom. Maybe he won't. But like, you have to do that before you can even figure out what you have with him. And it's like, this is what the Niners should have done. This was the plan. If you're going to draft this guy and try to develop him, it's like this. So good for Dallas.
Yeah. I pull for the kid because I've never seen such a nice guy. I have so many haters, so I always defend him just because of that. Like the amount of people that want Trey Lance to fail is insane to me. So that's why I always take the opposite route, and I hope he figures it out one day.
Yeah, it seems like he triggers a lot of people, and I don't understand what about him. I think maybe it's nothing personal, but it's like what he stands. I don't know, man. I don't really get it. I think people who hate Affirmative Action look at him as like, oh, he didn't earn it. He didn't play that much. It's like he just took Jimmy's job. It's like, okay, well, I don't know. He's not the first guy to get drafted high with a limited resume in college. Like, that doesn't mean that you have to like actively root against him. Like, he's some type of guy who's like taking shortcuts his whole life. Like, that's just the system.
I feel like it's misguided. Like the frustration that fans have towards him because he cost 3 first round draft picks. It's not him. He didn't draft himself. Like that anger that you had, that frustration because the 49ers spent 3 first round draft picks on him and it didn't work out. That shouldn't go to him. That should go to Kyle and John who chose him.
Right. And when you look at like, I think one of the big things with Allen and Dobbs is that they weren't drafted high. So no one cares about them. They're not controversial. Trey's controversial because of how the Niners acquired him, but that's not his fault. Not his fault at all. If he had just been a second round pick, he'd be perfectly boring and he'd still be on the team. If the Niners had drafted Trey Lance in any other way than the way they did, he'd still be on the team. That's why he's gone, because of the way they acquired him. That's a bad reason to trade him for a fourth round pick, even if you end up getting future Hall of Famer Malik Mustafa.
I love Malik Mustafa. By the way, guys, I go live 5-6 days a week, 9 a.m. West Coast time. If you haven't subscribed, please do. And then on Saturdays, I have a call-in show. And I always invite everybody that has problems with my takes, problem with me in the chat, to come on my call-in show on Saturdays because I want to hear from you. I want you to say it to me on my show. So again,
say it to my face.
Right, here's my invitation. Everyone that's mad at me in the chat right now, talking this stuff, just come Saturday, 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Come tell me in person.
Tell me in person.
Well, Denzel, what's your schedule for the rest of the day, sir?
The Niners practice at 2. So I'm going to mosey my way on down to the South Bay. And then watch practice, and then stream after practice, and then come home, call it a day, do it again. Nope, I get the day off tomorrow. Hey, and I wonder, Do you think today's going to be a big practice? Like, they just played a game a couple of days ago. Probably guys are really sore. They're not practicing tomorrow. I wonder what today's going to look like. It might just be
chill. It's going to be very chill. Yeah. Can I give you a suggestion? Something to do over the next day or two?
Please.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Smokey the Bandit.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Smokey and the Bandit. Two different people.
Please watch it. Yes, two different people. Smokey and the Bandit. I need you to watch that movie. It's a classic. Hell of a mustache in that movie. You got to watch it. Great movie.
Let me see if it's on YouTube. Smokey and the Bandit. I see it. 1977. Wow.
It's a good ass
Burford T. Justice.
Burford T. Justice.
Come on, you got Burt Reynolds, isn't it?
Burt Reynolds, dog.
Come on, man. I love Burt Reynolds. Okay, I'm sold.
You have to. If you never smoke in a van, it'll change your life, sir.
Thank you. I always like when my life has changed, and I'll watch it and report back. We'll talk about it.
Let's do it, man. Appreciate it. Great seeing you today as well. Make sure you guys like, subscribe, tune in, all that good stuff. Grant, appreciate you, buddy. Have a good day.
Appreciate you too.
Thank you so much for watching the Ryan G. Hensley Show. Your support is greatly appreciated. Please visit RyanGHensley.com to learn more about me and all of my businesses. Whether it's real estate, credit repair, solar, whatever it is, you can find out more about me on that website. Hit that like button, subscribe, and turn on your notifications so you know when we go live. Thanks again for watching. It's much appreciated.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.